This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast. Now, I want to start today by sharing a win with you all. Actually, I have two things I want to share, but the first is a win. Now, when I have a session with a client, a fellow ADHDer that I'm working with, we always start with wins. Our brains are so quick to focus on what's not working and what's not going well and all the things we should do. And we have to train it to look for the good, to look for what is changing, what is working, and what we can celebrate. So I'm very mindful of that myself, and I do that regularly as well. And I have a win I wish to share with you all, one that I think we as ADHDers can appreciate. So I got an email from somebody who I know, who I consider a friend, and who I value. And they gave me some feedback in regards to a podcast episode. And I thought it was in regards to this podcast. It's not. It turns out it's in regards to a very old podcast I did years ago. Anyway, the feedback was something that was quite challenging and hard to kind of receive and read. Not that it was negative, but my brain, of course, with RSD, wanted to take it that way and make it mean a bunch of negative things about me, and I did a terrible job and I should have known better and all of these things. And I saw this happening. I was like, I was kind of observing it, and I was like, oh, I see what's happening here. And I was just able to separate that, to really look at what they'd said and see how it could be interpreted in that way, or how there was truth in their feedback without making it mean I did a bad job or anything negative about me. And I was actually able to respond from a really loving, connected, positive place and, you know, agree with them, as well as sharing, I actually see like this take on it as well. I'm super curious to, like, you know, deepen this conversation and have another discussion about it. And they came back and said, that sounds great, let's do it. So I just wanted to share that with you all, because I still experience RSD, of course. I have ADHD. And sometimes noticing when, you know, it doesn't affect us, or we use the tools that I'm teaching you all here, and, you know, we can respond in this way, that's a win. And we got to take that. So, all right, I could waffle about that. I'm not going to. I just wanted to share the win with you all. And the other thing I wanted to tell you is I'm feeling anxious today. I am experiencing quite a bit of anxiety in my body. And I'm telling you that because I want to normalize that it's kind of like a heavy backpack of rocks that I'm wearing. That is what it's like to carry around anxiety. And I, most of the time, I don't have it, but today, and I know exactly why, I've got some thoughts about some things going on in my life, and that is producing anxiety for me. And that's okay. But I just wanted to share it with you all, just so you know that that's what's happening, and it's okay. All right? I'm just helping to try and, my aim, I think, in telling you these things is to try and normalize them, to encourage you, first of all, to celebrate yourself when you have wins and to look for the wins, but also to normalize some of the experiences that we have as ADHDers that, yes, can be hard, like having anxiety. I would rather not have it, of course, but at the same time, it's okay. We can allow it and still go about our day and, you know, record a podcast. I had planned to record this now. I want to record it now, and I'm still going to do it. I'm not going to let the anxiety, you know, stop me from doing that. I'm just going to bring it along. It's just going to be here with us while we record this episode. Okay? All right. Let's get into it. So today we're talking about action, how to take action, and the three reasons why we don't take action. So often I hear things from ADHDers like, I know what to do, I'm just not doing it, or I struggle with following through, or I procrastinate, I just go and do other things instead. My friends, this episode is for you. I used to say things like this all the time. I'd say things like, I know how to lose weight, I'm just not doing it. Or, I know I should study for this, but I don't want to. Or, I should go for a run, but I just don't feel like it. So, how do we actually get ourselves to take action? Firstly, let's look at why we aren't taking action. There are three reasons why this happens. Number one, a lack of dopamine. Number two is your nervous system is in survival mode. And number three, because of how you feel. So we're going to put that in the category of mindset management. Okay, and you guys have heard me talk about it before on this podcast. And if you've downloaded my free course, which you can get on my website, zenajones.com, you will know how I teach and talk about the three key things to thriving with ADHD, which are mindset, dopamine, and our nervous system. And these are the three things that stop us from taking action. Now, you want to make sure to hang around for number three, because this is going to be a game changer when you apply it in your life. I'm going to talk about number three being mindset management and how you're feeling, okay? But we're going to go through all of them. So first of all, how do you know if it's a lack of dopamine? Well, we as ADHDers, we have less dopamine than neurotypical people. So we already are starting off with less dopamine, and it plays a role in motivation and drive. Okay, so what that means is we're very selective with where we spend our dopamine. If we would imagine it like a currency, like money, okay, our brains choose based on what will give us the biggest return on our investment. So for example, if studying for an exam is going to cost me 5 units of dopamine, but I'm only going to get 1 back in return, my brain is not going to be on board with that maths. No way. Whereas if watching Netflix and eating cookies is going to cost me nothing and give me dopamine in return, then I'm going to choose that. Okay. So firstly, understanding how your brain works, okay, understanding the math that our brain does behind the scenes, that calculation is very good to know. Because we can use mindset management as a way to get our brains on board with the equation. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, I also want to address two key things when it comes to dopamine and dopamine stopping us from taking action. So number one is dopamine debt. If you are experiencing dopamine debt, which I talk about in detail in episode number 24, then it is going to be very hard to get yourself to follow through and take action. So dopamine debt is much like when you experience burnout. You have very little energy, no drive to do anything. You will feel apathetic, or meh, as I call it, all of the time. This is something I talk about in episode 24 that I myself experienced for quite an extended period of time before I was able to identify what it was and take action to correct it. So if that is you, if you're, you know, kind of state of being right now is just constantly exhausted, no energy, not really excited by anything, not wanting to do things that generally light you up, it could be that you're experiencing dopamine debt. And if that is the case, then rebuilding and replenishing your dopamine levels is where to focus, because when you do that, you will start to increase your motivation to be able to do things, as well as partnering with step number three we're going to talk about. Okay, so dopamine debt, be mindful of that. And then the second one is when we're experiencing a dopamine hangover. Okay, so a dopamine hangover, for example, would be if you got married and, you know, there's all of this hype and excitement in the lead up, and then you've been through the wedding, and maybe it's a few days after the wedding, and it's all just died off and you've gone back to normal life. So what you've experienced is this huge spike in dopamine and then a huge drop in dopamine after this big, wonderful event. Now, when that what goes up comes down, when it drops, as we've talked about in our dopamine episodes, is that dopamine baseline level that we have in our system kind of all of the time, kind of hovering there, it drops way below that level, meaning that we have a lot less dopamine and just day-to-day life is a lot harder for a period of time, much like an alcohol-related hangover. You know, if you drink way too much and you feel like crap the next day, or maybe when I used to drink, it would be like a 3-day hangover. I say when I used to drink, when I used to drink like large amounts and get drunk. I don't do that anymore. I don't like it. But, you know, that hangover that lasts like 3 days, sometimes even like 5 days, where you still feel pretty crappy and sluggish and lethargic and you do less and, you know that going for a walk would help you, but you don't want to, so you watch Netflix, all of that. That kind of a thing we experience when we have had a large spike in dopamine. Maybe it's like you've jumped out of a plane. Maybe it's a certain event, like you've come back from a holiday. I always experience it then. You might relate to that. Or as well as that, I do a bit of speaking. And when I speak, it requires a lot of courage for me. It requires, you know, a lot of emotion mentally ahead of time. And then I get a huge spike in dopamine from doing it. And then after that, I experience a dopamine hangover, where I feel quite lethargic, quite low, I have less energy, less dopamine in my system. Okay, so those are times, those two things, dopamine debt and dopamine hangover, are times to focus on rebuilding dopamine levels. So rebuilding baseline dopamine. Okay, think of it like rebuilding your immune system after you've been sick. You need to focus on the basics and, you know, take it easy, take care of yourself, get back to normal levels. Okay, very much like that. So if you're experiencing either of those things, then I recommend that you listen to episode number 20. And that is the episode, I think it's titled Medication Alone is Not Enough, 13 Other Tools That You Can Use. And the focus there is really around, you know, rebuilding and increasing dopamine naturally, and a lot of other kind of tools to support ourselves with ADHD. Okay. And as I said, also be sure, stay here for the mindset management piece, because that's what you want to pair with this. All right. So the second reason that you may not be taking action is if your nervous system is in survival mode, meaning that you are in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. So your brain and body are focusing all of their resources and all of their attention on keeping you alive, and therefore not deploying any resources to taking action outside of that. So if you are in a high stress job or have a high stress situation in your life, perhaps an aging parent who might pass soon, or you are going through a divorce, something stressful and really challenging, that could be what you are experiencing. Okay, if this is the case, then we really want to start by showing your brain and your body that you are safe and helping to calm your nervous system to get you out of fight or flight, out of survival mode. Okay, when we do that, we can get more control of our prefrontal cortex. Okay, so now let's talk about how we can do this. And this can be done in a multitude of ways, but I wanted to share three of the ways that I like to do this with you all. So number one is reminding myself over and over that I am physically safe. I am not in physical danger or harm, and I am okay. So this is the reassurance, because when my body's in fight or flight in my brain, and we're kind of panicking and scrambling resources and focusing all our attention on something, it feels unsafe. So I need to remind myself, I am okay. I am not in physical danger or harm. I'm okay. And I do that quite a lot when I'm experiencing this, that continuous reassurance. And I pair that with number two, which is self-soothing. Okay, so for me, what that looks like, and there's lots of ways you can self-soothe, I go for walks in nature, I cuddle my cats, I do a lot of deep breathing and like specific breathing techniques. I also speak things out loud to my safe people, or I will write them in my journal. And this kind of self-soothing and processing of my emotions is what I choose, rather than like avoiding them or choosing unhealthy behaviors that generally lead to me feeling worse. Okay. And the third thing that I do to help my nervous system come out of survival mode and out of fight or flight is I use EFT tapping. I am a huge fan of tapping, and I use the Tapping Solution app, which you can, I think, download for free. You can access a certain amount for free, and then there is a paid version as well. But first of all, if this is something you're playing with for the first time, just use the free version and see what your experience is like. So EFT tapping involves tapping on acupressure points on the hands, face, and body with your fingertips. So effectively, you're tapping in various different points. There's like a circuit that you go through, and if you use the app, it talks you through doing that and shows you where to do it, okay? And while you're tapping on these uncomfortable, you're focusing on these uncomfortable feelings or concerns that you have, and you're using positive affirmations to neutralize those feelings, okay? Now, when I first did this, it felt weird. I'm going to be honest, it felt really weird the first few times I did this, but I noticed a significant difference in how I felt. Now, if you're using the app, it'll have you rate your emotion intensity on a scale of 1 to 10. And every time I do this, the intensity of how I'm feeling comes down. Okay, so even if it feels weird, I highly encourage you to give it a go, EFT tapping. Okay, it is found to be an evidence-based practice for anxiety, depression, phobias, and PTSD as well. Okay, very, very, very good. Should have come up with another word, but that's what I got for you. Okay. All right, so now let's talk about mindset management. This is the biggest factor involved in thriving with ADHD, and it's the most common reason why you aren't taking action. It's also mindset management is where I spend the most time with my clients. So let's set aside for a moment dopamine and our nervous system. We've talked about them. We're just going to set them aside. What drives all of our actions? What leads to us, you know, what leads us to do or avoid certain things? Now, if you listened to the last two episodes on feelings, you might know the answer to this. It's like a little quiz. And if you haven't, I highly recommend that you go and listen to them after this one. All of our actions are driven by our feelings. How we feel determines what we do or don't do. So when I feel confident, I pitch my idea to the local news websites and magazines. When I feel afraid, I avoid doing that for weeks. Real examples, my friends. When I feel frustrated, I yell at my partner. When I feel determined, I get up early and I go for a walk before I start my day. Here are some of the most common feelings that stop us from taking action. Fear. Doubt, confusion, overwhelm, dread, feeling lethargy, like a tiredness, kind of I don't feel like it, that sort of feeling, and anxiety. Now, these feelings are all coming from a thought you are thinking, which might be, what will people think? Or, I don't feel like it, I'm too tired. I don't have enough time. I don't know how. I don't know where to start. It's too hard. I don't think I can. I can't be bothered. What if they don't like it? Thoughts determine how we feel. Okay, what we think determines how we feel, and how we feel determines what we do or don't do. Now, thoughts are not set in stone. They can be changed. So I've got a question for you. What do you want to do? And what action do you want to be taking? What are the thoughts and feelings that will drive those actions? Okay, so what is it you want to do? What is the action you want to be taking? That's the first question. And then once you've identified that, like maybe you want to get up early and go for a walk before work, what are the thoughts and feelings that will drive that action that would actually get you to do it? Another way you can think about this is, what would I be thinking and feeling if I did get up for the walk. If I was already doing that, what would I be thinking and feeling? Okay, so if you want to get up and go for a walk before work, but right now you feel dread every time the alarm clock goes off and you hit snooze, what would you need to feel in order to get up and go for that walk? It might be determined or committed. And then what are the thoughts that create those feelings for you? Now, prior to recording this, I got an email from a club here locally that would like me to speak about ADHD awareness. And next month, October, is ADHD Awareness Month, at least here in New Zealand. I'm not sure if that's globally. I need to look it up. So in the thing here is that it's in less than 2 weeks. I think it's like 10 days, if that. And my initial reaction when I saw this email was, oh, hell no. Oh, shit. I'm not ready for that. Ah! And I started to freak out. And then it was followed by a bunch of thoughts like, I don't have enough time. I don't know where to start. I'm not prepared. Ah, like it was kind of panic started to set in. Now, for me to say yes to that opportunity to start putting the talk together, I asked myself, how would I need to feel to say yes? And the answer I came up with was, I need to feel confident to say yes. Okay, so then I asked myself, what would I be thinking if I was feeling confident about this opportunity? And I brainstormed a big list of thoughts, which is the way I love to do this. I'm going to share them with you. So the list of thoughts I came up with is, I can do this. I've done it before. I am ready. I know ADHD like the back of my hand. I have loads of presentations that I can use for this. This is the part where I choose courage. I know my stuff. I'm the best person to do this. This is my opportunity to help and educate more people. This is what it looks like and feels like to educate people on ADHD in women and to change the narrative. This is what I want to do, and this is what courage feels like. Now, when I brainstormed all of that list and I showed myself, you know, this is what I wanted, this is my mission, you know, I do actually have a lot of this stuff already pre-prepared. I have done it before. I know this stuff really well. When I came out with that big list, it changed the way I felt. I started to feel both a mixture of courageous and confident and certain in myself. It was like belief, self-belief. So what did I do? I hit reply and I said, yes, let's do it. Now, here's one of the points that I want to make about this is my brain already forgot. I told my partner about this just before I came to record this with you all. I told my partner, hey, I've got this speaking thing that's coming up and it's like in 10 days. And he's like, oh, that's fantastic. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm freaking out. It's way too soon. I'm not ready. And my brain, this is the point I want to make, my brain forgot and it tried to revert back to the old way of thinking. The freak out, the panic, all the things. But thankfully, I had all of this written down and I was able to come back up here to my office and read those thoughts to remind my brain what I want to be thinking so that I can feel differently and take action towards this opportunity. Okay. One important point that I do want to make is there is no amount of action that can make up for negative thinking. Right? I've said it before, you can't hate your way to happiness. You can't starve your way to health. Negative thinking isn't going to ultimately produce positive outcomes. We've got to get to the root. It's like the root cause is the thinking. 90% of the time, the reason why we are not taking action is because of a mindset gap. Okay? Our thoughts and feelings simply aren't creating the action that we want to take. It's just maths, my friend. When we change how we think and what we feel, we then change what we do. Ultimately, we can be taking more action. Okay? So to bring this back to dopamine and getting our brains on board with the dopamine calculation, as I talked about, number one, when our brain sees, oh, this is going to cost me too much, I'd rather go and watch the Netflix, when we change the way we think about the task in front of us, we can change how we feel about it, thus making it more appealing. I'm going to give you an example. So earlier today, when I thought about drafting this podcast for you all, I felt dread. I felt dread. I know, I'm sorry, it's not you. But I felt dread about sitting here and doing this podcast. My thoughts were, it's going to take forever. I should have started it before now. I'll be honest, it was on my calendar yesterday. Didn't do it. But it was because of the thoughts I was having and the dread I was avoiding feeling. So today I felt dread because I was thinking it's going to take forever. I should have started it before now. I don't feel like it. And so my brain did the dopamine calculation behind the scenes and it was like, yeah, too much effort, not enough reward. But I knew what was going on. So when I thought about it, I started to show myself why. Why is it that I choose to do this each week? I don't have to do this podcast, but why do I choose to? Why is it that I want to do it? And I thought about some of the feedback that I have received from listeners, from you guys. And I was able to change my thoughts about it to, I know this will help people. I enjoy the process when I get into it. I always make it fun. This is valuable. And those thoughts changed my feelings from dread to feelings of inspiration and love and connection and determination. Now, even though the effort required is the same amount of effort, when I wasn't focused on that anymore, when I changed my thoughts, I was able to take action simply because I had changed how I feel about doing it. Okay? My friends, this is the work we do together when you come and coach with me. I teach you simple tools that you can use to manage your mind, to increase your dopamine and support your interest-based nervous system. Okay, together we create systems and structures that work for you with your ADHD brain. So you can take action, feel confident, and enjoy your life even more. You can book a free consultation over on my website, zenajones.com, and you can visit the FAQ page to find out more information about coaching and how it will change your life. Huge love and gratitude to you. Take care, my friend. I'll speak to you soon. Hey, friend. I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD. And to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions, and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.